Talk to you today about finding your voice in Jesus. Already, the scripture has been mentioned, as Don testified this morning. Matthew 10:32 says, "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him shall I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." That is just as strong as the one where he says, if you forgive, your Father in heaven will forgive you. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you. These things have to come to pass. That puts us in a place where we understand what we must do to get something out. We need to put something in. Do we understand the tremendous power of our voices? Sometimes we may have the idea that I can do good things and show people love and release my faith through actions, and they will understand that I love them and that I love Jesus. But it's not enough just to do. We must say. Some people really don't want to do much talking. Perhaps they feel uncomfortable or they're convinced nobody wants to hear what they have to say. Doesn't matter if they want to hear it or not. Say it anyway. That's what God's Word says. Say it. Speak it. Maybe they really believe that words are not that important. That's why I'm sharing this word with you today. And the Lord dropped it in my heart. I want you to talk to my people about finding their voice in me. You know, like the man who said, I know that I should tell my wife I love her. That's why I do it each year at our wedding anniversary. How much influence does the media have in forming our culture? Consider how songs either help us to worship or draw us in some other direction. The music with the words have the power to form us in so many ways. I think I've said this to you before. But in case you haven't had your laugh today, you know, when I was about 5 years old, they asked me to sing at my mother's Pentecostal church. And I sang Jesus Loves Me. And they thought it was so cute and sweet. And wouldn't I just do an encore? So I did Pistol Pack and Mama. I trust I influenced them more with my first song than my second one. But words themselves are truly wonderful, aren't they? There are worlds tied up in words. And there are worlds that can be created by words. You can create a happy atmosphere in your home. You probably enjoy being around our home sometimes just to hear the way that we carry on. They go ahead and let me bless the food anyway, though they know I could just come out with anything. And they know I could keep them there a while. I don't take time to pray for all the missionaries every time I pray. But I get to set an atmosphere with words every time I pray or every time I talk. And so do you. And the scripture even tells us that God holds the world in place through the word of his power. We might say that someone is a voice for women's rights, or that person is a voice for free education. But the Word of God says we're to become a voice for Jesus. Amen. To give voice to something means to share one's feelings verbally. For example, as we left the meeting, Sally gave voice to her fears that the promotions are unfairly awarded in that department. It's to give verbally the expression of what's inside of you. So confess Jesus means to vocally share our feelings about him and the truth that we know about him. The power of the voice. You know, the scripture says in the book of Genesis that Adam and Eve heard the voice of God walking in the garden. I've never known of a voice to walk, but this one does. They heard the voice of God walking in the garden. It all started with the voice. So let me just say, the power of the voice is to begin a relationship. You cannot have relationship without voices. And the more that relationship increases, the more the voice will be involved. You know, when people are beginning a romantic type relationship, or should say hopefully romantic relationship, and then they get on the phone talking to each other forever and ever and ever. And as T.D. Jakes says, sometimes they're just listening to each other breathe on the phone and waiting for the next word that might indicate, is there an interest here? Is there something really going on here? The relationship. And then there's leadership. It's all tied up in the voice. John the Baptist, concerning him, the scripture says, a voice crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. John the Baptist had a message. He brought it forth with his voice. His voice had the power to lead. People followed him, and they baptized with his baptism. The scripture says in John 5:35, he was a burning and shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But that light came forth in power only as he brought it through his voice, crying in the wilderness, his message that God had given him. And the voice of the Lord, where we get our revelation, Jesus declared that it was through his voice that believers become familiar with him and believers would be led. Without the voice, believers will be confused and powerless, John 10:27. My sheep know, hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. How do we follow Jesus? By hearing his voice.
Yes.
And the voice gives empowerment. There are voices that are, the scripture says, like clanging gongs and tinkling cymbals. According to Paul in Corinthians, then there are voices that bring the very power of God into the atmosphere. Jeremiah 33:11 says, the voice of joy. Don't you just love to greet someone? Hi, how you doing? Okay. Good morning. Good to see you. How you doing today? Well, as can be expected, I guess. Not exactly the voice of joy. And the voice of gladness. Gladness comes with a smile. If you're happy, notify your face. And the voice of the bride, the voice of them that shall say, praise the Lord of hosts.
Praise the Lord.
For the Lord is good, for his mercy endureth forever.
Yeah.
And of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise. Please understand, church, the sacrifice of praise is what you do whether you feel like it or not.
Amen.
I praise God because he's good.
Yes.
And he's worthy of my praise.
Yes.
And when I praise God with my voice, it brings empowerment to me, to the situation, to the very atmosphere. Praise is wonderful.
Yes. Hallelujah.
For I will cause to return the captivity of the land at the first, saith the Lord. Revelation 12:11 says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death. Such power. They overcame the devil by the word of their testimony. Testimony is so powerful. In the very early days of my ministry, sometimes my mother would go with me when I'd go someplace to pray for someone or visit with someone. And my mother was, they would talk very strongly in her Pentecostal church about the power of testimony. She continued, my mother gave her testimony continually. And so it would never fail that at some point, mother would say, now let me just give you a word of my testimony. And I love that. Oh, I just wish I had that on tape. It was so wonderful to hear her voice say that. And it kept her strong, and she never backed off from her testimony. I remember she stood in the midst of many heathen and unbelievers in her family around her. She held her testimony. She overcame the devil by the word of her testimony. Jesus promised that he'd build his church in Ephesians 4:11. He tells us that when he ascended into heaven, he gave gifts to men, what we call the fivefold ministry, to establish and grow the church. He gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. All of these major in the gifts of speaking, don't they? The using of the voice. I'm telling you today that your voice, either for good or bad, is a tremendous tool. Very powerful. Some churches don't acknowledge the ministry, you know, of apostles and prophets. They've been making out with the other three for years. But the fact is, if there's a person who started any ministry or a movement, and it moves forward through prophetically anointed word, then they have that ministry in their midst whether they acknowledge it or not. You don't start a church and be able to keep the life in it unless there's an apostolic anointing there. And the Lord gave these for that purpose, and there's anointing on it. As Jimmy was sharing today, Jimmy, I was thinking that just yesterday. Sometimes I'm completely just astounded that I get to minister the Word of God. I was working some yesterday on my message for Washington, D.C., and I just thought, scary city. With that pile of people there, it's got to be the Word of the Lord. And then this thought crossed my mind. I mean, this number just seems totally outrageous to me, the number they project could be there. Then my next thought was, how many women whose hope is threadbare could take a step that day?
Yes.
Sometimes, you know, when I preach a funeral, sometimes I have people say, I never ever heard anybody say those things before. Here's what happens when you get out into the mass multitude. People will be there that never ever heard that Jesus heals, and
right,
just by forgiveness you can be the one that has the key that unlocks the hope where your life has been desperate. Oh, I love the wonderful potential of the power of the Word of God. So God gives, he gives these ministries and gifts to the church. And he gives gifts of utterance, gifts of power, and gifts of revelation. And those gifts of utterance, tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy, all speaking gifts. That's why it's so important that we understand and realize how much God has entrusted to the voice. Your voice and my voice, that we say the things that edify and build up. And that's also why it's so important to honor ministers and their gifts by the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
You know, to really benefit from the ministry of these gifts that God has given. They're from heaven, you know. It's the anointing of God. But if we're going to really benefit from these gifts, we've got to acknowledge and honor them, the gifts and the people through whom they come. Doesn't mean the people are perfect. It means they have a gift in them. Hallelujah. Thank God for that gift.
Amen.
But we live in a culture that doesn't understand the power and the reward of giving honor where honor is due. Jesus told us that a prophet is not without honor except in his own hometown. Those in Jesus' hometown said, isn't this just the carpenter's son lived right down the road? God wants to pass this spiritual blessing on from generation to generation as we receive, as he keeps giving his word, his anointing on his word. The word says to give honor to whom honor is due. By the way, this is how we tap into gifts. Any gift that's in this church, any gift that's given to this church, you tap into it by honoring that gift and the person with that gift. It means recognizing, it means accepting, it means being thankful for the gift of God that God has given. If we just think that that person, they bought their books and sent them to school and cleaned them up so they look right good, amen, let's get them in our pulpit. If that's what it is, then no honor to you. Except just be respect and nice to people. But if it's from heaven,
yeah,
if it's the anointing of the Spirit of God, I don't understand any more than you do how God makes, how or why, especially why, God makes the choices that he makes in the people that he uses. Do you? I mean, isn't it really an amazing thing? We actually do have some sort of a strange idea that God would choose the kind of people we would choose, don't we? And when he doesn't do that, it sort of confuses us. And sometimes we grapple around and try to make him in our image. And when we can't get that to happen, we've got to decide to just accept what God has given or dig deeper to see if we can find more like the one we manufactured in our imagination. Why would God? The amazing thing that God chooses some of the people that he chooses. Some of them are really rough around the edges. Some are rough everywhere. But remember that God is not a respecter of persons. And he has a different way by which he makes his choices. Now, I think that if we can understand, I heard someone say that some minister said that the reason more people are not getting healed is that not enough honor is given to those who have the healing gifts, and people are not open enough to receive. We have a good opportunity coming up this coming weekend that we have people who, they really have a heart to see people healed. When the people from Dalton come, Johnny is the one who will be preaching. And they have been doing this ever since Jerry's Bible got saturated in oil overnight, began to drip off the table, and they finally got a container to put it in, and they had to keep getting larger containers because oil kept coming out of their Bible. Well, do you believe something like that? Well, here's the thing. I did see it. I went down and I put my hands and arms in the oil where the Bible was. And John Kilpatrick said, "These are real people, Sue." I've known him for a long time. Well, why would God choose to do that with them? Why would he choose it to do with anybody? Yeah. Think about it. Why would he do it with you? I mean, really? Would you be a good candidate? Would you know what to do with a Bible that kept producing oil? And people, when they're prayed for using this oil, they have reports of many healings. Well, the people who will be blessed by that are the ones that will honor that gift. You don't have to understand everything, but I do believe it's a sign. God does unusual. Through the years, God has done all kinds of unusual things like that. There was a man with a healing ministry named Jeffries in England, and he had such a tremendous healing anointing. So many people were healed, and like, the best description is like a neon lamb, a form of a lamb, came on the wall behind him where he preached and stayed there. Just a sign. Strange. Very, very unusual. Why did God do that? You know, if you knew all the whys of why God does things, you'd be God. Or at least his best friend, and that goes to Abraham, I think. Anyway, it's so very important to understand this and to respect those that are anointed in our midst. You know, something that I want to remind us of, and by the way, I ministered on having a culture of honor. I didn't realize it was 6 years ago. I said, "Joan, would you just grab those notes for me?" I did, you know, 3 years ago, I think it was. 2 or 3 years ago. But we may not realize that part of how our blessing comes is by respecting and honoring those that God has called among us. Amen. And the scripture says that we are to give double honor to those that are leaders in the house of God. Don't be afraid to honor. Don't be afraid to respect. People used to do it all the time before we got jaded with problems in churches and also with the spirit of rebellion that's in our country. I think it's very important, too, to speak respectfully of your leaders. Not speaking against them, not maybe questioning their motives. That's all backbiting. And it's so important to know that you should honor your leaders. And if you have a question, I think it got back to me that somebody said that we didn't know what we were doing. Well, that's sort of a general statement, so it didn't really mean anything, right? It didn't mean anything, does it? Now, why would that person say that? But obviously, they knew how to do it better. Person's not here anymore. Don't worry about it. Don't look around. Don't feel guilty either. I have not actually known that person to be a great success. When you think about it, the successes of that person have been very small. But somehow we get the idea that by the way, even if you have such ideas, just don't say them. And if you have a question, if you need to know something, ask the leaders themselves. Go to that person. Go to myself, Jane, Jimmy, Judy. Go to our leaders. They'll talk to you. They're all personable, or we wouldn't have them to be leaders around here. In fact, they like you. They have fun with you. They respect you. They love you. You can talk to them. So let's have a culture of honor where we really do honor our leaders. And there's a fellow where I eat sometimes. He's just so nice, and he likes to talk to me a little bit about his church, his Presbyterian church. And so he told me the other day, well, we got us a new pastor. I said, oh, I didn't know you were looking for one. Well, our other pastor, you know, he moved to such and such place. And I said, oh, is this a young guy? Because I figured that's maybe they already thought they wanted somebody young. No, actually, he's retired, and he came out of retirement to come pastor us. It's a good-sized church, you know. And he said, we're all happy about it. He's very good at getting things done, and we've needed that. And he said, well, we didn't have any problems. I mean, there was an issue or two, but we didn't really have any. I thought he's played the whole thing down. It's usually a church problem of some kind or other. I didn't want to know about it. I didn't want to hear it. If he had told me, I'd had to listen with gritted teeth, because I don't want to hear that. But I like the fact that he respected both the one that left and the one that came. How many of you believe the price that's paid to be a minister, we got to owe them respect and honor, and those who lead you and those who teach you, even those who work in the children's ministry and those that do anything in the church, let's honor the gift that is in each other. No extra charge for that.
Hallelujah.
Chris Valiston wrote a book called Culture of Honor, about how beautifully the gifts and callings work together in the church when we honor what God has done in each person. You know, that's a thought, isn't it? There's people here that I really do honor the gift I see in you, the thing that I can see that God has put in you. How many of you know that you have some things in you that are something that God has put in you that can be used for His glory and His kingdom? All right, now. Oh, and let's see. No one of these churches. One of the Holy Spirit told me to keep praying. Jane, there's only 6 people here that have got anything in them. So well. Now, how many of you think you might have something in you that could be helpful? This is always fun. How are you going to ever get a voice if you can't get your hand up? Set you up for all that, didn't I? I honor people. I'm going to tell you that God has, I haven't always been this way, but God has given me the understanding, I think, or wisdom, that I can deeply appreciate what God has put in you to be used in the kingdom, in the church, whatever, and go around the things in you that could be a problem, or that are already a problem.
Yeah.
Did Jesus kick people out? I mean, did he kick Peter out because he kept, you know, Peter needed a chocolate shoe. He always had his foot in his mouth. And he said, really dumb things at times. I mean, at one time Jesus said, you're talking for the devil now. Yeah. Well, hey, I've never said, I don't think I've said that to most of you, have I? but Jesus bore with these things because Peter became the guy who really led the church. Even his shadow falling on people would heal them. This is the guy that said that. This is the guy that denied Jesus, had a little problem getting it all together. I just want to encourage you to pull out, acknowledge, and talk to others about the giftings that you see in each other. Romans 1:6 says, having been given gifts differing according to the grace that's given, whether it's prophecy, let us prophesy according to our portion of faith, etc. As a ministry team, the pastors in the church will give honor to each other. That's how we can work as a team. In the congregation, everyone should honor the obvious gift of the others, and everyone should honor the leaders in the church and the gifts and honor each other as well. Now, Matthew 11:58, it says, and Jesus did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. They didn't honor God's gift in Jesus, did they? He's just Joseph's son. It's just not anybody special. Well, hey, nobody's special. It's the gift in them that's special. No, none of us are special. We just hunks of mud that God put again. We got this. We have this wonderful thing in styrofoam cups. The surroundings of the gift is not worth much, but look at the gift that God has put in us. 1 Corinthians tells us the Holy Spirit gave these gifts and prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues, these vocal gifts. And all these gifts are for the building and empowerment of his church. Praying in tongues is a tremendous power.
Yes, it is.
Against the works of darkness, because the devil doesn't know what you're saying. And the communication is in the spirit. And the scripture clearly says that God is spirit. And we've got to worship him in spirit and in truth. And we talk to him through the Holy Spirit. And when we speak, when we pray in tongues, we are making that prayer directly to God. And speaking in tongues, 1 Corinthians 14, now we're talking about finding our voice for Jesus and all the different ways that the voice can be released and how important and valuable the voice is. And I want some of you to really understand that God is looking for your voice to come forth in the way he's called you to bring it forth. I want to encourage you in that. 1 Corinthians 14:14 says, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, Paul said, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. There's a voice that sings behind me on Sunday mornings. And I said to this voice this morning, while Jimmy was leading, I said, you know, when Jimmy leads like this, and then there was free praise is what we call it, or singing to the Lord or the song of the Lord. And I just said to her, because she's new in the church, and I said, you know, you can sing with Jimmy as he's doing this. And I gave her an example. And next thing I heard, she was doing that. See, when someone leads in free praise or worship like that, then this is what the Lord taught us here many years ago. And you sing with them, that's lending your voice to the spiritual atmosphere too. You see, there's power in that. That's why we encourage you to do it. We don't want you to sing a little song for each other so we can see if we thought that sounded good or not. It's unto him. It's to change the atmosphere. It's to drive away devils. It's another way that we can release ourselves with the power of finding our voice for him and his purpose. So apparently Paul sang in the Spirit. He sang in tongues. And he spoke and he sang both with the Spirit and in tongues. Paul instructed not to forbid to speak in tongues, by the way. But some churches do. Well, just come to churches that don't. That's what I say. I don't really have any argument with anybody. I just want to press through and do what Jesus has called me to do. He instructed not to forbid to speak in tongues. He also said he's thankful that he spoke in tongues more than anybody. Think of that. And then prophecy, he also gave instructions on prophesying. True New Testament prophecy, let me tell you about this. When you speak for Jesus, you show me a place where Jesus spoke harshly to anybody but the Pharisees. It's the legalistic, religious people. Well, he did call them a family of snakes. But that was the religious people. He didn't say that to the woman taken in adultery, did he? Or the woman at the well. He didn't speak to people who had little faith. He didn't speak harshly to them. He lifted them up, did he? Well, the scripture says that New Testament prophecy is for edification, exhortation, and comfort. There's nothing about that that's depressing, scary, or any of those other things. What does it do? Edification builds you up. When a true word of prophecy comes, it lifts the meeting. It lifts the person if it's spoken directly over them. In exhortation, that is, it gives some understanding about something that opens up, gives you more wisdom. And comfort, it lets you know that God knows your address.
Yes.
And that he's bringing a word for you. So this is what prophecy is about. I just want to give you just a little hot tip here. If anybody gives you a prophetic word that sort of scares the liver out of you, you bring that word straight to me and we're going to fix that. Because that's not New Testament prophecy.
Come on.
I've heard people think they're prophesying and say, well, the Lord shows me a black form that's coming toward you. He doesn't exactly tell me what it's about. Yeah, I'll tell you what it's about. It's about them pretending to prophesy. Some people need to back off. But what you need to do is to be wise. If you happen to receive a prophetic word from someone, you bring it to your leaders and let them judge it. That's what the scripture says, that let the other prophets, not your pals, let the other prophets judge the prophetic word. Dr. Fuchsia Pickett used to bring her prophetic words to me that she'd gotten from these big name people and let me judge those words. She wasn't just going to swallow it because it suited her fancy. And also don't go around under a burden of some. Please don't go under some prophetic word, quote unquote, that somebody gave to you. Don't go around under the burden of that. Bring it to your leadership and let it be judged. And the other thing is, if someone brings a prophetic word in this sanctuary, it will be judged. And there has been a case or two where, not in the person's presence, but the next time we met together, I adjusted that word. And I would just will tell you that we're not going to allow false prophetic words here. That's abuse. It's abuse of the prophecy gift, and it's abuse of the people. Amen. How many are glad you're under covering?
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But he that prophesies speaks to edification, exhortation, comfort. 1 Corinthians 14, he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. Isn't that wonderful?
Yes.
So your voice could come forth also through writing a book or a blog. By the way, all the things that people put on social media, why not just use that to have a Jesus voice on it? Now, don't preach to people. Lift up Jesus. They don't need one more preacher in their life. They can turn on the TV and they're everywhere. But they do need some comforting word, some exhorting word, some little testimony word that will help them. It can come through discipling people. Your voice, finding your voice, can come through sharing with people what God taught you about how to get free from alcoholism or whatever. That's your voice, finding your voice for the Jesus way. Or simply encouraging them in their walk. It's just so good to say. It's just so good for people to hear you encourage them.
Yes.
In the thing that they're involved in. I appreciate that you do this for us. It helped me a lot when you did that. Sometimes on Sunday afternoon, I'll get a text about the message. Or just different things like that. It's all very encouraging. That's using your voice for God's purpose. It can come through those prayers that you pray for individuals or publicly. Your voice can come through prayer in the open prayer meetings that we have. And you lift up your voice to pray. By the way, the devil wants to keep you quiet.
Yes, yes.
He wants you to be God's secret sky agent. He wants you to carry on a secret society. That, you know, I don't know why this flashed through my mind, but you know that there's a town where you could sell liquor, but you couldn't put up a sign to advertise it. So this guy had a sign out front that said, "We sell it, but can't tell it." I'm afraid there's too many of us that have it, but don't speak it.
Yeah.
Hello, everybody say amen.
Amen.
We need to speak forth more often.
Yes.
For Jesus. Find your voice for Jesus is all I wanted to say today. It can come through discipling people or encouraging them. It can come through the prayers that you pray for individuals or publicly. A word here or a word there. The world is full of all kinds of voices. Our call is to become a voice for Jesus. He says he's put us in the world as salt and light. Be salt and let your light shine. Don't hide the great testimony that resides in you. There are many, many ways that can come forth. And we need to, we should take advantage of all the opportunities that we have to give our testimony. By the way, I just want to encourage you to write your testimony out succinctly and have it so that you can tell it to people quickly, tell what's important. I know that many of you, one of the big ways you'll use your voice is testimony. So let me just give you a word or two about testimony. All those little details that are so important to you don't matter to the people you're talking to. They don't care whether it's August the 5th or the 6th. They don't care if the sun was just coming up or it was just going down. They don't care if Jerry was sitting beside you praying for you or if Billy was. You know, I know it's important to you, but here's what's important to them. Let me tell you what testimony is. This is how I was before and what a great need I had. This is what happened. I encountered Jesus. This is how I am now. That's a testimony. And it's so marvelous for people to know, well, if that happened to you, then it can happen to me. That's the point in a testimony. And as you give your testimony over and over, it strengthens you.
Yes.
Now, there's all kinds of voices. And 1 Corinthians tells us that no voice is without significance. Isn't that interesting? So every voice that speaks has the ability to influence or affect one way or another. So put your voice out there. What I do is I superimpose on situations the Word of God and the promise of the Word of God over top of what is happening until that thing just shrinks away until there's nothing left of it. And I have found that the enemy will try to make one little thing that's going on some big deal, do a virtual reality of it to make it mean something it doesn't even mean. But when I speak the Word of God and what the Word of God is, Jesus will build his church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And when I keep keeping the big picture and I keep speaking that, I believe in declarations and proclamations.
Yes. Yes.
They are so powerful. This is why we proclaim and declare in our prayer meetings. You guys ought to try this once. It's because it is so powerful to put God's word and God's promise into the atmosphere. Isn't it wonderful?
Yes.
We are all voices for him. Let's stand together in his presence. You know that this is a fact. When you are speaking, only 8% of the value of effect on the person or the audience, only 8% is the words themselves. 38% is your voice tone and what your the meaning that your voice brings to the situation. And 58% is body language. It is so amazing. We think that if we just yammer on, we're saying something. But think about how you're saying it. Are you saying it with love? Are you saying it with feeling? You can talk. You can bigger, you can talk. You know that in that movie? Well, you can talk. But the thing is, you got to say something, you got to say it with warmth, you got to say it with meaning. You got to let people know how much you love Jesus, how much Jesus has done for you. Lord, we just bow our hearts in your presence and we just say, you are so worthy of a people who will declare your great and wonderful name. And we come to say today, Lord, we want to be those people. We want you to anoint us as a church to declare your name, your goodness, your mercy, your lordship. And today, Lord, we lift our voices for your name. Lord, your word speaks about your glorious voice being heard. Your voice is glorious. And Lord, we declare that in this sanctuary, we want to hear the voice of the bride and the voice of the bridegroom. And we want you to hear it. We want the Spirit of God to anoint our voices. And we thank you for the tremendous power that is on our words when we speak them in faith. And I pray, Lord, that you would open every one of our mouths, that you'd deliver every one of us from all the things that keep us from speaking forth. That is fear and shyness and insecurity, unbelief. We break the power of those things. And we just declare, Lord, that we have a fresh new desire to find our voice for you. I wonder if you'd say this together. I will find my voice for Jesus. Ready? I will find my voice for Jesus. And it can come in so many different ways. But it's so powerful when you speak it. But here's one of the most important ways, is that when your voice declares the word of God and speaks what God has promised, you speak into the atmosphere, you break down all the negative forces that are trying to undermine your health or your strength or your commitment to serve God, because the declaration of God's word and his promises is always greater than the lies of the enemy against you. So here's what I want you to do. Those of you that have a physical need, I want to lead you in prayer, in a prayer of declaration, proclamation, to stand in that victory. You know, I got up in the night a couple of nights ago because I discovered a tick on my body, and I thought I better get that off. And it's going through the house looking for some antiseptic to put on it. And, you know, I've heard of people that could ball players that could trip over the foul line. And I sort of put my step on a little place where one part of the floor connected to another. There was a little thing connecting it, you know what I'm saying? A wooden floor and a tile floor. And it sort of affected my knee a little bit. And that's okay, but it'll usually take a couple of days to get it back where it should be. So this morning, as I was walking from there to here, I said, I will walk. I will walk freely. I will have no problem walking. When I get on the platform, I'll have no problem standing, because Jesus Christ is my healer. He is my great Jehovah Rapha. I do not receive that weakness and that whatever thing, that little slight injury, then that is disappearing now because of the great power of Jesus Christ. And I want to teach you today how to speak concerning those things. You just declare. So I want you to lift your hand against your physical need or a chronic thing that, you know, we were meant to laugh today. We've laughed ever since we started our worship service, not knowing our right from our left. And Lord, we love you and praise you, but what we do know is that we have a great Savior who is also a healer. Now we come today in Jesus' name, and as we lift our hands to you, I want everybody to now practice this. And this is what I want you to say when you're alone. Everybody say, I'm the healed of the Lord.
I am the healed of the Lord.
And then next I want you to say, whatever disease or whatever place in your body is a problem, I want you to say, my heart is healed. Ready? My
heart.
Let's do it again. My. All right. Whatever it is, it's healed. And we come to say today, Lord, in Jesus' name, that is healed. Now I want you to say, I will walk in health and victory.
I will walk in health and victory.
I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The thief comes to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus has come that I might have life. And that I have it more abundantly. I receive abundant life today. I praise you for abundant life.
It is your
will that I prosper.
And be in health
as my soul prospers.
I thank you for victory.
Jesus is my victor.
And he is on my side.
He bore stripes for this. And I embrace it. And I receive it. And I rejoice in it. I magnify the name of the Lord. Now everybody give God a big shout. Woo-hoo! Hey! We praise you, praise you. What a great God. Go ahead. Let's worship him for his greatness. Yes, he is. Yes, Jesus.
Ooh.
One thing remains. One thing, just one thing. Hey, higher than. Sing the words, it's so good. Strong. One thing, oh, one thing
remains.
Your love never fails. Sing it from your heart, come on. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. Oh, I love you for your love, Jesus. On and on and on and on. On and on. Don't have to be afraid. Never runs out on me.
Your love never fails, never gives up, never runs. Hey, your love never fails, never gives up, never runs out on me. How wonderful is your love, Jesus. Thank you for your love, Lord. Thank you for stirring our hearts and souls this morning. Thank you for putting us in a new place of faith today, Lord. And thank you for instructing us about these wonderful voices you've given. I've heard people say sometime, I don't like the sound of my voice. I want you to change that testimony. I'm thankful for my voice. Everybody say it. I'm thankful for my voice. It's the voice God gave you. You can improve it, but it's the one you've got. And so thank God that we have a voice that we can absolutely overcome the devil through our praises, through our praise, through our testimony. We'll think of that wonderful power. Before you go this morning, I want you to turn to somebody and say, I'm thankful that I have a voice for Jesus. Will you do that? Oh, by the way, everybody. Hello, everybody. Let me have your back just 1 minute. Hello, everyone. Would you do this? Let's just do this. Let's agree together before we leave today for our meetings coming up. Saturday at what time? And Sunday. Okay, now here's the thing. I want you to be here because I'm believing that some of that healing is definitely going to come your way. I also want you to invite people that you know are sick. And they'll come. People that have been really looking for healing, people that are desperate, they'll be glad that there are people that are going forth and praying for the sick. And so we're happy that we can host these people. So let's agree. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray for Johnny and the team, and we're believing you that these are going to be wonderful meetings. We declare in Jesus' name that they're going to be very anointed, that your presence, Holy Spirit, that you're going to do a wonderful work. We're asking for miracles. We believe that angels will be released to do things that were not expected or anticipated. And we give ourselves, Lord, this week to pray for these meetings. Lord, you give gifts and you set them in the body so that we can be blessed. We respectfully honor and receive these gifts, and we embrace the reality, Lord, that you make a provision. You want us to be healed, well, and whole. And Father, I just pray that you will bless them even as they travel here. You will cause their time here to be greatly fruitful. I pray, Lord, that you'll draw into this house those that can benefit from this ministry. Give us a great time of praise and worship. And Lord, let us set the very atmosphere that people can believe you as never before. And that we'll hear that mighty signs and wonders were done. And that Jesus Christ was exalted.